back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, in Las Vegas, in the last 4 or 5 days, Oregon State went on a run. Didn't surprise me. If you were listening to last week's shows, you know I said, watch out for the 4 seed. The Beavers were the 4 seed. They end up as the best team in the WCC tournament. Here to talk about it, Scott Ruick, Oregon State women's basketball coach, is going to join us here momentarily to talk about it. And you see how I ran towards that, and then I just ran back away from it. But, like, Stephen, could anybody really be surprised by what Oregon State did there in sort of blowing up the bracket, so to speak? I think so, yeah.
I was shocked. I was shocked, John. Like, I'm not surprised that Scott Ruick got his team to play really well and that they won the, like, and they made some noise, but to actually run through and win the tournament, yeah, with the way that they started their season, losing 8 players on their 12-player roster, I am a little bit shocked, and I said this the other day, I have to put Scott Ruick as the top coach in Oregon. Like, if he gets it done, and he did, he's got to be the top coach in my mind.
I think it's his best coaching job. I think, you know, I don't know if he'll go in the weeds on that, but this is a guy who coached at George Fox. He's got more than 500 wins. He's been to the Final Four. He's been to a handful of Sweet 16s, been to the Elite Eight multiple times. This is just what he does. The buzzer-beating win in the quarterfinal, game-shot winning victory in the semifinal. I kind of felt in this championship game that, and I said this earlier, Oregon State was too close not to just seize it. Like, and they had, you know, this feeling of, you know, a team that really had been through more than anybody. I mean, had they been through more than anybody in the country? I don't know. Scott Ruick here to talk about it, joining us now. Coach, what did that feel like? I mean, what was the emotion for you? I noticed you stood on the side and you kind of smiled and you watched your team celebrate. What was that about?
Pure joy. Just pure joy. I mean, conference tournaments are so difficult. I think it's the hardest thing we do all year. 3 games in 3 days against people that and teams that know you so well, third time around with each of them. So it's just, it turns into just a fight. It feels like it's like you're wrestling almost. And you know, those first two were just so emotional and tough and came down to, you know, last shot like you just mentioned. And we survived them, and then we get into the final, and you know, it's against a Portland team that's so good, and, you know, against Coach Meek, who, you know, I know so well, and his assistant Sharon, who was my director of ops for 4 years. I mean, there's just so many, you know, common threads, and so, you know, it's elation for us. It's pure joy seeing this group that came so far, believe in themselves at that level that we as coaches have just been hoping for. It's understanding Portland's situation, and you know, it's very special to coach your daughter like Mike is with Mikkel, and so there's just a lot, you know, out there, and so it was just, I'm just taking this moment in, and you know, I'm so grateful to be a part of it, and I wanted to believe it was possible, but at points this year it was hard to believe it would be possible, and we just kept grinding, and here we are, and so it's just you know, pure joy.
I had someone in the Big 12 reach out to me right after you guys won, and they said, wow, I saw them against Arizona State earlier in the year, and I can't believe how much better they are. And, you know, you have a team that lost by 25 at home to UP. And granted, they shot lights out, you know, in January in that meeting, but you had come on this show, and you had talked about liking the way they competed, liking the way they practiced. If I go back and pull that interview, I think we're going to hear maybe hints and bits, crumbs that you were dropping saying, hey, I see it. I can see, you know, did you really see it in spots like that?
I did. We had these moments where you could just see it come together and you could see the potential. And I really like the character of the team. You know, I mean, I know that you have to have this cohesion for a team to grow, and that is a prerequisite to reach your potential, and that was in place. So that gave me hope, knowing that, okay, they're going to allow us to continue to coach them. They're going to stay in this. And some of these things, like, you know, we threw them to the wolves with our non-conference schedule. And certainly that Arizona State game was a tough one. They played great. We did not. The day before, we got beat by Minnesota by 35 or something. And, I mean, we didn't know what to do yet out there. And I didn't know them. They didn't know me. It's how it felt. But it's going to happen, though. We're going to get to know each other. We just got to weather this and stay in it and stay patient through it. And then all those lessons just added up. And you know, I can look back to we played UConn in the Bahamas in November. And, you know, we got down big early, of course, or down 20 or something like that. And then we just kept fighting, and we had this amazing second half where we outscored them in the second half. And they were kind of scrambling in the fourth quarter against our zone to, I mean, you could tell, no, I don't want the ball, you take the ball. And I'm like, it's UConn, we're disrupting them. And we go 8-for-10 from the field in the fourth quarter against UConn in that game. And so there's moments like that that gave us these little glimpses of hope to keep going when things did seem kind of dismal at times, you know, especially early. And so when you have character, desire, and potential and talent, you know, athleticism, size, those things, you know, there was lots of reasons for hope even in the hard times.
I know that, you know, I had been in contact with you as, you know, the season last year was ending and players were scattering, and I know that's not how you wanted it, but I'll tell you, you know, I wrote this today that what I didn't hear was I didn't hear any excuses. I didn't hear it, you know, complaining about the players. I didn't hear you taking shots at the players who were leaving. You kind of just wrapped your head around the circumstances and then, you know, as you did when you arrived at Oregon State, kind of put your head down and started grinding. And how different was this last offseason maybe than anything else you've been through? Or what was it reminiscent of that first year at Oregon State where you walk in and you got a bunch of walk-ons?
Yeah, it was. Let me just say, I'm grateful for experience and the wisdom that comes from experience. And certainly, you know, COVID caused some transfers for us as well. And that was such a disruptive time. And we had, you know, players from across the country that were, you know, out here. And you know, it was so strict out here. And so it wasn't fun playing in front of cardboard as long as we did when other gyms had fans and families. And, you know, so I that was a hard time. And that experience allowed me to remove myself personally and not take anything personal and just look at it from just like a kind of a pragmatic view of, okay, if I'm this person or these parents, this is how I could view this situation. And this is unsettling and it's uncertain. And, you know, we didn't sign up for that. And so I had empathy for them. I know them so well. I could view things through that. So I never really took it personal. I was just like, okay, I get it. I don't like it. I want you to be here. I mean, I didn't want this to come up, you know, shorter than senior day. However, I get why you're going to make this decision, and I don't begrudge you. And so there's no hard feelings anywhere. I get it. For me, I mean, it was tough to go through the transition personally for me too. You know, just I didn't sign up for anything other than the Pac-10 at the time, then 12. And okay, so I'm being asked to do something slightly different. Okay, well, I get to choose whether I stay, go, do something, do whatever, and I choose to stay. And if you choose something different, that's okay. And so within that, then it's like, okay, what do we have? So you mourn the changes, and then you just go full speed ahead into what you can control. And that is finding great people to keep doing what we're doing. And okay, who wants to be a part of this next? And then get excited about that. And that's simply what the process was.
I looked out onto the court with about 3 minutes to go in that quarterfinal game, and I looked and I said, who's out there? Who does he trust? Who's he putting in this situation with 3 minutes to go in the season on the line? And I, under my breath, I said, ride or die. He's got his returners on the court. And I almost got chills, as you know, because I was like, I get it. They're your better players, but I get it. There's some trust there. You talked about that in the post game after that game, and I think you saw it in the semi and in the championship game as well for people who are watching. What did it mean to you to see those four players in particular who said, hey, I'm coming back, especially AJ? What did that mean to you?
Well, AJ, meant just loyalty. I really love their family's perspective on it all. And they saw a great opportunity for her here this year and were excited about it. And that just gave me hope that we could keep our culture going. And because AJ is just a culture player. I mean, she's who you want in your locker room, who you want on your team, whatever it may be. You want AJ Moratz with you. She just brings a joy and a togetherness and a galvanizing presence. And, you know, if we're going to go through this, all this transition, and it was players and staff. It's a lot of change in 1 year. We need to keep, or have somebody that is so good at just pulling it all together as quickly as possible. And AJ does that. And she is the one that, really built this team from day one as they came together. And so it meant the world to me. It gave me hope. And so to have those guys out there, for all of them, they had something to prove. For Sila, Sila hadn't played big minutes. Kelsey to be a go-to player. AJ to be out there at the end of games, and for Kennedy to step into a primary point guard, PG1 role. It's what this season's about. Everybody changing their own trajectory.
Those culture keepers are so important. And, you after the game are asked, how's this possible? How did you do this? You talked a little bit about, like, this is kind of what you did at George Fox. It's carried over at Oregon State. I almost feel like you've done it three different times at Oregon State. You built it from nothing. You sustained it. And then you had to start all the way over again this year, and you got back. After the game, I said, I think this is his best coaching job. And that's, I think that's saying a lot. But do you ever look back and go, hey, am I doing my best work right now? Or can you afford to do that when you're amid it?
Well, you just try to do your best all the time, and each circumstance is different. And I think with the dramatic growth with this group, I could see why people would say that and where we just finished from where we were, but I think teaching's teaching, coaching's coaching. And with this group, they were so hungry to learn that I think you could see the growth so clear and so evident. And that's what allowed us, that culture that AJ creates, which is pretty on brand for Oregon State in general, but that galvanizing culture allows growth for us coaches, just creating that environment and that help in building relationships with the players. It allows them to want to be coached. And so this team just remained, and there are no egos in the locker room. There's none. It's just, what are we doing next? And let's have a great time doing it. And how do we get a little bit better? They're a group that has perspective in life. And so they just got better literally every day is what it felt like. And so I can see why it appeared that way, but that's not just me. That is because of the makeup of the group and the situation we were placed in.
How is that possible that you don't have egos? Because every college team I'm around has got somebody who is the best player on their high school team. In fact, they have five or six somebodies like that. And, is it born from what you guys went through a year ago and watching a bunch of 4- and 5-star players go, hey, I'm going somewhere else, and then everybody else kind of going, well, I'm not. I'm sticking this out. Or what is it just a unique group? What goes into that?
I haven't thought of that. I would say with this group, there was a lot of insecurity throughout our roster in, can I do this? nobody had done it before. And that's really this team's story. There's not a go-to player on this roster that had been in that role before. And, AJ was a role player. She started, but there were many games where she was not on the court at the end of the game. Same with Kelsey. She started most of the year, but Tamia Gardner, won the minutes down the stretch of last season. And then you got Sila Hart, didn't play very much last year. And Kennedy played, maybe 10 minutes a game as a backup point guard. And those were the most experienced players. And so I think there was this massive amount of self-doubt throughout each player. Can I do this? And when you're in that place and you're able to be honest with yourself and just admit it, that, man, I don't know if I can do this, and I just got to keep trying. Well, it puts you in a really good place where you have this humility. Okay, I need coaching. I need my teammates. I need, you know, encouragement. And that is kind of where this group operated, and that's the beauty of this team, is everybody then stepped up into these new roles that they've never done before. And it took so much courage to do that. And then you saw a team that had a crazy belief that not only can we compete in these games, we should win these games. And obviously it came to fruition yesterday in style.
Scott Ruick is with us, Oregon State women's basketball. They're going to the NCAA tournament. I want to play a clip here. This is from the post-game interview. Ron Callen sent it to me. Kat Ferreira, he's trying to interview her. I just want you to hear the emotion here.
That's been like that all year. Why not us? And we just work so hard. And like, I'm just so proud of everybody. I'm proud of this team. I love them. And I wouldn't do it without them, you know?
Your first year to come here, and you become such a big part of this family. That must mean a lot to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, first thing I was looking for, it was a family environment, feel like home, and that's how I feel.
What has her addition meant to the team?
I had not heard that before. That is beautiful, and you know, you wonder why things happen sometimes, and then when you just hang out long enough, you discover why things happen, and so. You know, if everybody stays from a year ago, there's no opportunity for Kat at Oregon State. And so, you know, that's what we hope for everyone. You know, they find their spot and they have that transformative experience where they can see themselves differently. And so for her, you know, to have opportunity, fit and opportunity. And the first time I talked to her, I just heard this really cool kind of old soul, mature perspective that was just seeking an opportunity. Where can I go where I can get minutes on the floor? And she just wasn't getting the minutes at Baylor that she, you know, needed in order to fulfill a dream, which is she wants to play professional basketball. And I said, well, we certainly could use you. There's opportunity here. You know, and you seem like a great fit to me, you know, and so let's give this a shot. And I watched her and I'm like, I think we can really help her. You know, she needs to gain confidence in her shooting and she needs to, you know, finish better around the rim and be a little bit more disciplined on the defensive end. But those are things where you just need a lot of repetition in order to do that. But man, what an incredible athlete she is and what a great person and just such a deep level, deep character. You know, and so to watch her believe in herself through all the ups and downs that she had this year, which were a lot. She was very inconsistent, but of course she was. She never had to be consistent before at the level that we needed her to be. And now look what she's done this last month. And then to turn it into, you know, a tournament MVP is just as beautiful as it gets.
I looked back at your last six or seven games as the bracket was announced, and I was like, ooh, they're going to be a tough out because I felt like you could beat Gonzaga. I felt like you could beat UP on a given night. You could beat either one of them. You know, could you beat them consecutively? I don't know, but we found out you could. Pretty good week for the Ruick family. Your son, Cole, our buddy from Boise State, is a star golfer there for people who don't know. He was at the Bandon Dunes Collegiate Championship this week, and he made a 2 on a par 5. That's a double eagle, or an albatross, as it goes. I think you had the bigger accomplishment. Nothing against Cole, but feels like you had a hole-in-1winning this thing.
It does feel a little bit like that. I'm just so happy for everyone, and obviously happy for him. I mean, that's amazing. You know, 263 yards, he told me, with the 3-wood. And Kerry was down there to watch and was with his group and got to see it. And so that's very special for a golfer and for a basketball coach. Weeks like this are ones you'll never forget. And so I just am so grateful to be a part of it.
How is your wife following the tournament? Because she's obviously paying attention to Cole and the golf and trying to follow the game. You know, and I don't know if she's getting updates or if she's watching on her phone these days. But, you know, what did you hear from her after the winning it?
She was just so happy for us. And so she knows, obviously, as well as anyone, what the whole story's been like and how, you know, challenging it's been at times and how beautiful it is, you know, when things go your way, you know, after you've been through it a little bit. And so she's been incredibly supportive as always and, you know, an amazing mom. And so watching our daughter Kate play in the state tournament up at Wilsonville, where they got beat the other on Friday for her last game, and then went to be with Cole, you know, in his tournament down at Bandon for 3 days, and then following us, you know, it's just, she was juggling all those things, and and so went through the phone and through friends, you know, just giving her updates because they coincided, the tournament and our games.
You'll now get your seating, or you'll soon find out where you're going to play or who you're going to play, and, you know, people have projected this or that, but, you know, I know we don't want, what we don't want to say publicly is this Oregon State team is dangerous, could be a bad matchup for somebody, has a puncher's chance in that kind of game. But what would you like other teams to read or see about Oregon State women's basketball right now? Or that, you know, as a coach who's been in that seat, does it matter that much, or does the tape tell the story?
We're a pushover. You don't need to scout them.
right.
You know, just show up. You'll be fine.
right.
You know, I like the makeup of our team. I'm excited. I feel as though, you know, like I told you at the beginning of the year, we have the pieces when it comes together. We have the size at the rim. We've got point guard play. We've got wings that have size and athleticism. We can shoot it, you know, and now the ball's going down for us. The ball's moving so much better. You know, once this team, once it comes together, I feel like we're going to be pretty good, you know, and here we are. And you know, this conference, you know, it's my first time through it. So many different styles of play. I mean, there's teams that run four different defenses. And, I mean, this team has really learned the game this year. And so I feel like we're prepared, you know, for the postseason. And so wherever we're sent, you know, obviously we'll be an underdog and we'll have a big task ahead, probably somebody on their home floor. And, you know me, John, why not us? And let's just go have fun, you know, doing our thing and you know, seeing if we can keep the story going.
I'll tell you this, it's a job, right? I'm not holding a jackhammer. I'm watching sports. I'm talking about sports. I'm writing about sports. But watching your teams over the years is one of the most enjoyable days at work that I have had. And it's just, you can tell that they like each other. You can tell that the coaches like them, that there's good rapport. You can tell they're having fun. And it's a throwback in some ways. And I think you guys look like you were having a blast, you know, each step of the tournament. And so just keep doing you.
I appreciate that. And that means a lot. And that is by design. I want to enjoy myself every day. I don't want it to feel like a job. And when you're with people that you really enjoy and they enjoy you, what's better than that?
Scott Ruick, keep it going. We will talk to you down the road. And good luck in your next one.
Thanks a lot, John. Appreciate it.
All right. There he goes. Why not them? Says Scott Ruick. You heard the emotion from his players really at the buzzer yesterday in Orleans Arena in Vegas. Ruick stood, arms folded, smile on his face, on the bench, watching his players celebrate. He didn't run around out on the court. It's not about him. He just kind of stood back. Now you know some of what he was thinking, some of what he was feeling. It's been a journey, and sports gives us these great moments. We will find out how far this team can go, and NCAA tournament bound for now. Punch It Audio coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll also give you a big splash, the one thing you need to know. We're going to take a look ahead at the job that Dana Altman has tomorrow morning. Oh, early. 9 o'clock tip Pacific time as the Ducks are in the Big Ten tournament playing Indiana in Indianapolis. This is the latest Rubik's Cube for Dana Altman to solve. We'll talk about it coming up.